Hello and welcome to episode 4 of our podcast In the Shadow of the Evening Trees. My name is David Von Ebers.
And I'm Jennifer Von Ebers.
And I think I just made some odd noise in the background. I heard a clunk.
I heard a clunk too. It might be the ice machine.
It might be the ice machine. Something happened. So, but in any event, this is episode 4. Did I say that already?
You did.
Oh, well, okay. It's episode 4, and it's November 15th, 2021, which we don't normally say the date. I don't know why I felt that I had to do it today. But
documenting
so
the time.
This is the fourth Monday that we've done this, although we don't always record on Monday. But anyway, fourth Monday that we've posted it. So that's exciting.
It is exciting. We found that podcasting is a lot easier than doing videos.
Well, we think.
We think.
We've not really created a buzz yet, but
it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. So this week, actually, is National Transgender Awareness Week. Although it, if I understand correctly, started on Saturday the 13th and goes through Friday the 19th, which is 7 days, but it's not a Monday through Sunday kind of 7 days. So I didn't realize that until just now.
Yeah, I did not realize that either.
But we should probably point out that, well, I don't know if we should or shouldn't, but in fact, we have a trans daughter.
Yes.
And nephew and other family members who are non-binary and so forth. So it's kind of an important issue for us. And I think I'm saying a lot, so I'll try not to
do that.
I also do that. I'll try not to do that. But we wanted to give a mention to that. It's very important. And I think it, although it's not directly related to, you know, our situation, it certainly is part of the sort of the general subject matter that we talk about on the show, because obviously people who are in relationships with transgender folks will sometimes get the same sort of, you know, negative reactions from other people that we get from people who don't really understand. And so obviously we want to support them.
Absolutely.
And make it clear that, you know, that's part of the sort of the general community that we're a part of and support. So there's that. Another interesting thing is that it just happens coincidentally that in my job, we do some pro bono work from time to time. Many of us are lawyers, even though I'm not currently practicing law, but we had the opportunity this year to do a couple of great pro bono projects for different organizations that fight for and support the rights of transgender individuals. So I just want to mention a couple of those organizations. The one that I worked with is called Gender Equality, which is an organization up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. They actually do more than just promote the rights of transgender individuals and non-binary folks, but also work on gender equity across the board. They're a great organization. If you are interested in supporting them, they are at genderjustice.org. And I'm sure they would be more than happy to to accept your support. Another great organization that we did some work for is called the National Center for Transgender Equality, NCTE. Their website is ncte.org. Some colleagues of mine did some great pro bono work for them, and in particular, that project involved updating a database that they maintain of basically all 50 states' laws on things like changing your name and changing gender markers on identification documents and so forth. So that's really
that's
important work.
Huge and amazing.
Right. And if you are listening to this and you're interested in that subject, name changes and changing gender markers and things like that, go to ncte.org. They have this, as I said, a 50-state database that provides a lot of information about how you could go about doing that. If you have friends or family members who are looking to do that, change names or change gender markers, again, ncte.org, great organization. And I was really fortunate to be able to work with some people and get to know some people in both organizations. So I think that's kind of appropriate for National Transgender Awareness Week.
And you've had personal experience helping somebody else change their name and things like that, and it's not as difficult as people may think.
Right. And you know, I mean, it certainly varies by location. It varies by the state that you live in, and even within a state, it can vary by, you know, county or city or wherever you are. But in modern times, you know, it's becoming increasingly easy to do that. Now, name changes are one thing, because there have always been people who change their names for a variety of reasons.
I changed my last name.
Right, but you didn't have to go through a formal process. Typically, when you get married, if you take your spouse's name, there's paperwork involved, but you don't have to go to court. But for other situations where people want to change their names, you typically do have to go to court. Very often people do it on a pro bono basis. They don't necessarily need a lawyer. It's a little bit more complicated because a lot of courts around the country still have different restrictions relating to COVID, you know, so there's a lot of remote hearings, Zoom and telephone hearings and things like that. You don't always physically go to court, which might make it easier sometimes to deal with, rather than being sort of in a public spotlight when you go to present a petition to change your name. But generally speaking, and I'm totally generalizing here, and by the way, I should point out, obviously I'm not speaking on behalf of my employer, and I'm not giving legal advice. I am a lawyer, but you know, this is just more general information, so please.
Disclaimer.
Yeah, it's important to point out that's not legal advice. And if you are, or you know someone who is looking to do a name change, please get some good legal advice. Talk to a lawyer, or at the very least, look up this information on ncte.org. But generally speaking, it's sort of a perfunctory thing. You know, there's a petition that you have to fill out. Typically, you have to indicate that you're not changing your name in order to get away with a crime or defraud creditors or things like that. And when you present this type of petition, you know, again, it varies by jurisdiction, but typically the judge asks a small number of questions, a handful of questions that are basically just on a script that this judge is required to ask of anybody changing their name for any reason. And if they walk through that litany of questions and you give all the right answers, which you would, presumably,
right,
they grant the petition. So it's not, you know, a very difficult process. And in some jurisdictions, the courts are actually very welcoming and, you know, really want to help out. I suppose it's probably fair to say that's not the case everywhere. But get the information. If you're going through that process, go to ncte.org, check out local organizations. There's a great organization that's nationwide with local chapters called PFLAG, Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. It's kind of an old-fashioned name.
That's been around forever.
Because they've been around since the early 1970s. I just saw, I can't recall on what social media platform, but they said they were born in 1971. So that's when the organization began. But they are very pro-transgender, pro-non-binary. They support everybody in the community. And they can certainly help provide information, you know, about how to go through that process. The gender marker thing is a little bit more complicated. Again, it varies widely by state law, by the state that you're in. In Illinois, it's actually, it's very friendly to people who are looking to change gender markers on identification documents. I believe, and I'm not giving any kind of legal advice, I think that, you know, the passport office is actually also pretty good about that nowadays. I would recommend, again, not legal advice, I have to say that, but I would recommend if you don't have a passport and you're going through the process and you're changing your name and you're changing gender markers, then I would recommend that you get a passport as soon as all that's completed so that you can travel internationally. And then once you've got all your documents set, you know, you're in good shape. It's not likely that the change of presidential administrations,
right,
or the change of the administration in your local, you know, your governor in your state or whatever, it's not likely any of those things will be able to, you know, no one will be able to take that away from you. So I always advise people, and I'm not giving legal advice, so don't take it that way, but I always say to people, if you're going through the process, you know, that's one thing that's really good to do. Get everything else lined up and then get your passport. Or if you have a passport, find out how to get it changed. Anyway,
yeah, because so, there's a backlog now.
There is a backlog, and you know that's another thing with all these processes, including going to court. You know, there can be delays because we still have the ongoing effect of the pandemic. We know here in Illinois, the Illinois Secretary of State's office, which handles driver's licenses and things like that, you know, they're still struggling to deal with pandemic-related issues. They had to keep a lot of offices closed for an extended period of time. They do certain things online, but they can't do everything online.
Yeah.
So, you know, it can be complicated. But again, I would encourage anybody who's going through that process, or if you know of somebody who's going through that process, to definitely reach out to the organizations that provide this information. I know in Chicago there's an organization, which I can't think of off the top of my head, but they have monthly webinars where they provide information so people can go through this process on a pro se basis. I'll look that up and we'll put that in the
comments. And I was also going to say that it's important to learn about this because you don't know if somebody in your family is going to come out as trans, a friend, a relative, whatever, to have an open mind and kind of not learn about it, but kind of just like be accepting. For our daughter, I'm sure it was hard for her to get the courage to tell us, you know, in the beginning.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, that's a milestone for anybody. But we obviously welcomed her with open arms, super excited for her, wanting to live her, you know, truthful life and everything like that. And I always like one of the things, if you are a parent of even small children, one thing that I see over and over again online and is the gender reveal parties and the I'm a boy mom, I'm a girl mom and stuff like that, where it's like if you put so much emphasis on what gender your children is, then I think if they do end up to, if they're trans, then it kind of like is harder for them to come out because that's you're taking away their identity of like you're a boy mom, you know, and everything.
Right.
So I always like to encourage people just to kind of have an open mind about that too, that gender doesn't really matter.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. Just a couple of other organizations that provide this sort of legal information and support. Lambda Legal is a nationwide LGBTQ plus rights legal aid organization or legal advocacy organization. They also have local branches. So, for example, there's a Lambda Legal in Illinois and in other states. You know, so that's a really important one. There's also a local organization here in Chicago called the Transformative Justice. Pardon me. The Transformative Justice Law Project. They handle a lot of things, including fighting for the rights of transgender people behind bars. Imagine that would, you know, what that would be like if you were, you know, put in the wrong jail or prison or put in with, you know, that could be a really horrible thing. But they also provide general support, and I'm pretty sure that it's the Transformative Justice Project. I think they also are the organization that has monthly webinars on things like name changes and so forth. But again, we'll put that in our post so you've got that information if you need it.
That is good information to know.
Another thing, you know, just sort of shifting gears a little bit, unless there's more that you want to say on that topic. You know, another thing, because obviously the main subject of our podcast is to address, you know, and talk about things that relate to people in mixed orientation relationships. We've spent some time, or at least I've spent some time looking, you know, online at social media groups that focus on this sort of thing. And certain things jump out. I mean, these are things we'll talk about over time. It's not just a one-time thing, but certain things jump out at me as I see a lot of posts. And we don't want to talk about, you know, specific names,
right,
or even for that matter, specific groups, because, you know, there are groups on Facebook and groups on other platforms that typically are invitation only, so you have to reach out and find them. But, you know, they're very protective of the privacy rights of the members, so we don't want to talk specifics, but just in generalities.
Absolutely.
You know, some of the things that we see, some of the challenges that people face in these kinds of situations is that a lot of times there is a feeling that, you know, the partner who's of a different orientation has not been particularly straightforward or, you know, honest with the other person, and that sort of generates a certain amount of anxiety, discomfort, maybe even a little bit of animosity or anger. And I think so that's one sort of big category of issues that people
definitely
come up with. And I don't know that there's an easy answer to that, because it always is going to depend on, you know, the specific circumstances that people are in. But it sort of goes without saying, I think, that, you know, the remedy in all these situations is to be as honest as possible all the time. And I think it varies a lot depending on the circumstances. You know, if you know going into a relationship that your orientation is different than the person you're with, I think it's fair to say that you have an obligation to be upfront about that. So, I mean, you know, that can be challenging because you might not really be ready to come out or to be open, or you might not have told, you know, family members or friends or something, but you can't be you can't mislead the person you're getting into a relationship with. I think the more common scenario is really that the person doesn't really know, or they haven't really kind of come to accept it. And so they're not really being dishonest. And I don't want to sound like George Costanza, who said, you know, it's not really a lie if you believe it. But I mean, in a sense, that's true, right? I mean, it's you're not intending to mislead a person if you've really, really, really tried to convince yourself that you are a certain thing and you've come to actually believe that. So, I mean, I do think that happens. And I think that's where the real complications tend to arise, is that you get involved in a relationship, you go into it in good faith because that's really, really, really what you've convinced yourself you want. And then as you go, you know, you start to kind of open up and realize you're not really exactly what you thought you were, or at least how you held yourself out. But it's difficult because you can't lie to people, even though you may not be ready to be fully honest with the world at large. So you got to make that call early on. If you are conscious of the difference, you have to make that call early on and be, you know, straightforward. But again, I do think more often than not, it's more of an evolutionary process.
Yeah. And in our situation, married for a long time, kids, you know, I think a lot of families do find that it's just later in your relationship.
And it's a funny thing too, because if you, you know, if you're not necessarily comfortable with who you are and you sort of are fighting it in your own mind, and then you get in a relationship with somebody you trust, that trust makes it more possible for you to be honest with yourself and then ultimately with the other person. So it's, you know, it's kind of like, it's almost predictable that someone who's lying to themselves, when they get into a good relationship and they're comfortable with the other person, then they're able to tell the truth to themselves. Then they're able to tell the truth to the other person. You know, I mean, it still can be difficult, but I think that the challenge is always just to be as honest as possible. And also, I think everybody, regardless of what kind of relationship you're in or who you are, I think everybody has to recognize that it, you know, we talked about this before, especially in the second episode. There are a lot of reasons why people convince themselves that they are something that they're not, or it's not even a matter of convincing. You know, you grow up in an environment where you are expected to be a certain thing, and you just become that because that's what everyone around you expects of you. And it's, again, it's only later as you get a little bit older, you get a little bit more perspective, and also, you know, you're in a relationship where you trust another person more and more and more, then suddenly you're able to see things more clearly and also be more honest. Like, that's not really all that helpful, I think, for other people. But I think it's a value to understand how that comes about, you know, how that evolves. So, you know, the challenge or the question, I guess, and it's not something we could answer today or in one podcast, is, you know, okay, so you're there and you're in that situation, and how do you make it work? Well, I mean, I don't know. For one thing, if you're committed to it, you can make it work simply because you're committed to it, I think. I mean,
Yeah, and that's what we've done.
I know a lot of people, you know, the sort of the elephant in the room, so to speak, in the whole subject, and we're not going to get into a lot of detail on this topic, but, you know, the elephant in the room, the really difficult thing to deal with for a lot of folks is, you know, is intimacy, right? I mean, it kind of goes to the heart of a lot of, you know, it's a big part of your relationship, and it's hard for people to figure out what to do. And you see all kinds of ways in which people struggle with that issue. Do they, you know, have an open marriage? Do they bring someone else in? We're not, you know, this is not that right. kind of a podcast. But, you know, you do see, you know, online, you see conversations about that sort of thing. And I'm not here to judge anybody. I'm not, you know, people have to figure these things out for themselves. There are some interesting legal issues when people make those choices, and we can talk about that another time. But you also have to recognize that that's not going to be for everybody, right? I mean, so you may say, okay, well, I want our marriage to work, but it'll work best if we bring in another person, and your spouse or your partner might say, no.
Yeah.
I'm not cool with that. You know, so you have to be willing to accept the fact that maybe that works for some people, but it's not going to work for everybody. And
I've also seen where couples have gotten into trouble opening it up, and like you can date somebody else or something, and then having a jealous, you know, to that thing. So that's like a whole other.
And that's not judgmental. I mean, that's human nature, right? Yeah. And you can understand that. And again, I'm not passing judgment on other kinds of
Me
relationships.
Either.
I'm not in any way saying that
you should or shouldn't.
You should or shouldn't, exactly. But you do have to understand the other person's. You know, it's just human nature for people to say, you get married or you're in a committed relationship, it's supposed to just be the two of us, right? And that's normal. And you can't expect the other person to just say, sure, let's have a big party. And
right.
Whatever.
Exactly.
Again, see, we're dancing around this because it's not that kind of podcast.
Right.
We'll have to.
We have to come up with another.
Yeah, we'll have another after dark. It's not it's not an OnlyFans account.
Right.
Right. So we're not going there. But you know, that is a challenge. It is a challenge. I mean, and I don't know. We can over time maybe talk about this a little bit more. I do think that a lot of it, just like the honesty part of it, a lot of it really just depends on the level of trust you have with the other person. And, you know, the level of, I would say, creativity you're able to,
right.
embrace. That's a very vague thing. But it is interesting to read some of the comments you see online, and you see the frustrations that people have or the challenges that people have. And I think, we don't necessarily want to present a negative a message, but I think it is true that, it's not going to work out for everybody.
Right.
Our hope is that it can work out for a lot of people, and that maybe by talking about it and opening up about it a little bit, we can hopefully help people figure out how to work it out. But I do think there is this kind of unfortunate thing you have to recognize that for some people it's not going to work out. But for us, it has.
Yeah. And I think that being obviously open with each other and also accepting and, learning to grow with the other person, especially like in our situation, we've been together 28 years almost.
Yeah.
The day before Thanksgiving.
It's coming up.
It's
that's
coming
right.
up. And that's like half, a long time, over half my life.
I was going to say, it's half. It's half. I guess right now it's a little bit less.
Yes.
Than half.
Yeah. It's coming up.
I said this when the Cubs won the World Series in 2016, that I had lived through exactly one half of their 108-year drought.
Yes.
So 28 years is a little bit less,
yes.
but not much.
Not
a little
much.
Bit less than half my life, but not much. But anyway, that's a big part
of it. Working together and just trying to, if that's the decision that we're making, we're just going to make the best of it, you know.
Yeah. Kind of thing. And the thing, you know, again, you know, to circle back to the big kind of looming question for a lot of people is the intimacy thing. You know, I mean, it's not unimportant. Okay. Obviously it's definitely an important thing for most people, but also that's not necessarily the only thing that defines a relationship. And I think maybe part of what you have to decide is, number one, you know, are there ways to make that work? Again, that involves some creativity and thought, but, you know, it can be, it is possible, for at least for some people. But also you have to think, too, to the extent that you struggle with it, is that the most important part of the marriage? Is that the number one thing? Now, we're older and we're boring and we're settled in our ways, so maybe it's easier for us to say. If you're young folks, maybe you'd be a little more inclined to say, no, that's a huge stumbling block. And there's nothing wrong with that. If it is, it is, right?
Right.
But I mean, I think you have to think about all that sort of thing. Is that the number one thing in your marriage? Probably not. I mean, I don't think it is for anybody. It's huge, it's big, but I don't think that's really right. Ever the number one thing.
I agree.
You know, I don't, this, by the same token, I don't think it would ever be fair to ask someone in a serious committed relationship to live without it either. I don't think that's fair. I don't think you can say, well, you should just accept the fact that that's it for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
You know, that's not necessarily right either. But, you know, you got to figure that out. And again, that's where honesty is. And people have a hard time, you know, talking about it. We're dancing around the issue, but in our real lives, we have no problem talking about it.
Right.
You know, it's just not something we necessarily want to put out on Al Gore's internet.
But
because that would be a subscription-only service. But kidding aside, you know, you have to be able to, I think to overcome that issue and to figure out what to do about it, again, it really does require a willingness to talk really openly. And, you know, some people are just not that comfortable talking about intimacy in, you know, kind of very, very personal terms.
That is true.
So that can be a struggle. But I know this is all kind of vague and probably not super helpful, but I do think that it's a matter of kind of like setting up the framework of how you think about going forward. And, you know, you have to, there's questions you have to ask about, can you make it work if there's not going to be intimacy? Can you make it work if there is? And what is that going to look like? And what's going to be involved? And we can't answer those questions for you.
But I think that we also want to portray that if this is a brand new situation to you and you read things online that you feel like, oh, this is hopeless, you know, like this is, it's not working out for other people. It's not going to work out for us. That's not true, you know, because if you really love that person and everything about them and you've established your lives and,
or even if you just sort of do, because I don't think you love everything about me.
I don't think you love everything about me.
Of course I do. Of course I do. You don't like my lousy guitar playing. Kidding aside.
You don't like me just randomly singing. I'm just kidding.
You don't do that though. You should do more of that.
I should do more of that.
No, but I'm sorry. I didn't.
But yeah, I just want to say that it's not, something that is just, something that can't be worked through.
Yeah. And I think that's the other kind of big theme, and we're coming up, we're getting, late on time, but another big theme, and we'll have to go into this in more detail in the future, is that, you know, you don't have to make a huge decision today.
Right.
That's the thing that I think sometimes when something comes out of left field and throws you off and surprises you or upsets you, I think we all have a tendency to say, okay, now I have to make a decision based on this new information or this thing that's upsetting
right
or surprising. I have to do something about it right now. And really, that oftentimes is the worst thing to do. It's like when you fire off that email because you're mad about something, maybe the better thing to do is write the email, don't send it, go back and look at it the next day, delete it.
Right.
You know?
Start over.
Start over, right? But that's another thing is that, you know, time's on your side, right? I mean, not making rash decisions in a short time period and not making assumptions about what you have to do in the future.
I was just going to say the same thing because I think a lot of people think like, if somebody comes out in your marriage, that automatically that just means like, all right, we're done, you know, kind of thing. And it's like, no, or not worrying about what other people think is also important.
Right. Absolutely. Well, we're right up against time.
We are.
We may have even gone a little long. So we'll probably...
Thanks for sticking it out.
Yeah. Thanks for sticking it out. We'll wrap it up for now. But, you know, these are issues we're going to circle back to many times, and we'll also have the opportunity to think things through and come up with some additional ideas. So thanks very much for listening. Leave any comments.
Leave a comment. We will answer them.
And we'll be back next week with more.
Sounds good. Good night.